An Energy Inspector General investigation has found several problems with the way Sandia National Laboratories awarded maintenance and operations contracts to Lockheed Martin. Now, these deals are worth billions. The IG found a lack of competition and a violation of at least one important statute. Joining me with the lessons learned in this week's Legal Loop, Attorney Joe Petrillo of Petrillo & Powell. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so what went on here? It looks like there was a couple of things, lack of competition and also misuse of federal contract funds.
Well, in 1993, a company that later was merged into Lockheed Martin got a competitive award of a five-year contract to operate Sandia National Laboratories. And ever since then, it's been extended non-competitively in a number of extensions until the last expiration, which was going to be in 2014. At that point, it was extended one more time for 2 years with an option for a third year, presumably in order to prepare for a competition to see who would who would get the contract after that.
So almost 25 years without a competition.
Yeah, it's been a long, long time, and they've been successful in extending the contract non-competitively. So in preparation, to try to get a continued set of non-competitive extensions, Sandia hired some consultants and some lobbyists and supported them and incurred costs doing that. And as we saw, the upshot was a successful extension for about 3 years.
So the question becomes, why would the agency hire consultants to help it get an extension for a contractor?
Well, it was actually the contractor who was hiring the consultants, the company that was running Sandia National Labs. And it's a little confusing in the report because they refer to as Sandia National Labs throughout. But the company itself that's basically operating the entire laboratory is hiring the consultants. And there were three legal problems that the IG pointed out in a recent report on this. One was the Byrd Amendment, which is a statute that limits the use of appropriated funds to influence certain federal actions. The second was a FAR cost principle that restricts allowability of lobbying and political activity costs to improperly influence officers of the executive branch or Congress. And Congress isn't included in that one. Finally, there is a fairly very broad clause in the Sandia contract that prohibits the contractor from having interface or consultants for the contractor, rather, from having interface with present or potential federal customers or commercial customers for the purpose of obtaining or retaining business for Sandia Corporation, which is the contractor. We've now got this situation where the IG looked at it, and in the IG's view, one or several of these statutes and contract clauses and regulations were contravened.
So three for three, the Byrd Amendment, a FAR clause, and a contract clause.
Yeah, unfortunately, the analysis doesn't focus on any one in particular and give you enough facts to understand. I mean, usually the Byrd Amendment is not an outright prohibition on lobbying because it has an interesting definition of appropriated funds. It says you can't spend appropriated funds, but then it does say that appropriated funds does not include profit or fee from a contract or any other covered federal action. So to the extent the contractor can demonstrate that it's got sufficient monies other than appropriated funds, and that can be contract or fee, it can be monies from other sources, the government's going to assume that those were the money spent for the lobbying activity. So that's a fairly broad limitation or exemption, rather, that keeps most that enables most contractors to engage in lobbying activity. The DOE clause, however, is much broader, and that may be where people ran into trouble.
We're speaking with Attorney Joe Petrillo of Petrillo & Powell. So it sounds like there are lines here, and they got a little over the lines.
Apparently, yeah. I mean, because of this investigation and a prior one that was initiated by the IG, Sandia Corporation refunded to the Department of Energy over $200,000 in costs. So evidently they made the judgment that some of these costs were at least questionable and they may have contravened one or more of these requirements and refunded them. Sandia is continuing, pardon me, the Department of Energy is continuing to examine, you know, the accounting records of Sandia Laboratories to see if there were any other problems. So there's some follow-up there.
And who was the lobbyist trying to influence? Was Congress ever a part of this equation at all?
Well, there were apparently overtures made to DOE by a number of lobbyists. The only one who was identified in the report was Heather Wilson, LLC, which is a company headed by a former congressman from New Mexico. So, they were able to gain entree to DOE officials, and the result appears to be that they got this 3-year contract extension.
Wow. So, and we should also add, there's a lot of money at stake here, too.
Oh, yeah. These are very large contracts, very prestigious contracts. Obviously, they're very important contracts for the national defense. They deal with the nuclear program and its continuing research and development. And they're certainly not contracts that you just want to give to the low bidder. But on the other hand, there are requirements and a presumption that this is the kind of contract that gets competed.
Yeah, because Livermore, Los Alamos, the other national labs also have their big management contracts that run for a number of years, too, I believe.
Exactly. That's the model that DOE has used. They have a facility, but they basically turn over operation of it to a contractor under a management and operations contract.
All right. So if there are violations of the Byrd Amendment or a FAR clause against use of appropriated money for lobbying and so forth, or a contract clause, what are the consequences? Anybody going to jail on this one? Or?
Well, it isn't clear. I mean, once again, as I said, it isn't clear from the report exactly which legal requirement was violated. It could just be the contract clause. I can't recall a prosecution for violation of the Byrd Amendment, but and there may be that there is one out there. In any event, this is a process that a practice rather that's been determined to rather investigated, and the company is going to have to be more careful in the future about how it operates. In addition, there's something that the report doesn't discuss, and that is, whether it was appropriate to have a non-competitive extension of the contract. I can certainly imagine there are circumstances where you're not ready to have a recompetition, even though you should have been planning for it, and you need a short extension. But to go from competition in 1993 to now, it seems awfully long.
That's more like an annuity than a contract. And so, and as a practical matter, if you would recompete it. The Sandia didn't really want Lockheed Martin. What they wanted was the Lockheed Martin people that were probably living and working there for many, probably people had a career contract after contract working at Sandia. And so as a practical matter, wouldn't the new contractor likely retain most of the people from the old contractor in a situation like a management and operations contract?
That's characteristically what happens, where there are people who were working on the contract who have important skills and knowledge, and you want that continuity. And again, these are skills and knowledge that aren't widely available. This is the situation you get with these things. But there can be different approaches to running the laboratories. There can be different management teams that are proposed. It's it may be difficult to compete these contracts, but it certainly isn't impossible. And every now and then they do turn over.
All right. Joe Petrillo is a procurement attorney with the law firm Petrillo & Powell. As always, thanks so much for shedding some light on this.
Thank you.